Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Spirit move, 'cause when you
something has to break. Hey, how y'all doing tonight? How you doing tonight? This is your brother, Brother Manny. You're listening to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man, and I am so excited you decided to take time out of your busy evening on Monday evening and listen to this broadcast. I hope that it helps someone, that it uplifts, encourages, and heals someone that's listening. If you think that this particular broadcast would benefit someone, you know, I really encourage you to send the link that I've posted out there. Send that link to a relative, friend, coworker, fellow church member that you think this conversation might benefit. I also welcome the opportunity to have a conversation with you about it. It's a topic that's, you know, become very popular among the body of Christ, and tonight's topic is church hurt. How real is it? Now, when I ask the question, how real is it, the question isn't to imply or to suggest that I don't believe it's real or that it doesn't exist. I know that church hurt exists. It is a very real topic, but how real is it to the body of Christ? How real is it to pastors and teachers and overseers and bishops and all these individuals who have these titles and responsibilities to move forward the God's agenda in today's church culture and the atmosphere that we're in? I'm really curious to really know and seek the opinion of those out there who are listening, who maybe have, you know, endured some form of church hurt, and it has prevented you from attending church or preventing you from, you know, carrying on your relationship with the Lord, with our Christ Jesus. That it caused you to go the opposite direction of a religion altogether. You know, it's a very deep topic, and it's as real as it gets. But the question is, how real is it to you? You know, how real is it to you? And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to define what church hurt is. And some of you may have been or have experienced this and didn't know what it was, you know, and you just thought maybe it was par for the course. You know, your grandmother went to this church, your mother went to this church, your father is the deacon, your uncle is the usher board, and, you know, and you just didn't know what to expect. And then we're going to talk about sexuality and how church hurt can be linked to sexuality choices, you know. So we're going to get started. The number to call in is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We also have an email address. If you don't wish to call in, go ahead and email us at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. If you have a prayer request and you want to call in or you want to send an email, please do so. Or you can contact us on our Facebook page. That's right. You know, God's Word to Man is on Facebook. You can find our little icon with the Bible open and the sun shining down on the Bible. It's God's Word to Man. Go on over there and like and subscribe and follow that page, as well as here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, go ahead and sign up for a subscription and follow us here at God's Word to Man, because we are definitely on 7 days a week, multiple times, sometimes a day, bringing forth God's Word in this time and season. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my brother who's decided to join me tonight as always. He's always there for me for us to tag team and assist with these topics, and I thank God for him. God bless you, Rev. How are you?
I'm doing great. God bless you, Brother Manny. May God continue to bless you and your family. Appreciate this opportunity to be on with you and share as always, and looking forward to what God would have for us to say and teach on tonight.
Amen. Amen. I'm always very you know, anxious and excited to know and to hear what you have to say on these topics, because I learned so much you know, in addition to you and some of the other brothers who get on. It's important that we have these conversations, you know. It's really important that we have these conversations. So we'll get right into it. We won't be that long because I tend not to have such a long broadcast. I really want to get into it. Again, if you're out there and you have an experience to share really quick, I'm willing to give you the platform for one or two minutes so you can explain, you know, what you went through. And if you overcame church hurt, you know, and how did you overcome church hurt? I really like to know. 323-870-3403. So now, Rip, I want to just kind of describe what church hurt is. You know, a lot of people may know already, but some, as I said, maybe experiencing some of these things and they just don't know what it is and why they don't want to go to church and why they don't want to go to Bible study. And some people, oh, you just, you know, you kind of slacking or you backsliding or you know, you don't want to give God, you know, serve God like you should and, you know, and you, your heart is cold and, you know, all these types of things. So church hurt can be described as or that it occurs when you've been the victim of some form of abuse in the church or abuse of power in the church. It could range from things like something like psychological where, you know, maybe a minister or someone in a position of authority is always talking down to you, or they're always in some way trying to trick you or manipulate you into doing something that they want. It could also mean, you know, molestation or sexual assault, you know, touching, a touchy-feely pastor that you're uncomfortable with, you know, or just another, you know, church goer in the church, like another member of the church. It doesn't have to be the pastor. It doesn't have to be, you know, someone in a position of authority. Maybe it's just a male that gets too close, or maybe someone that you dated, and you know, maybe, you know, some things transpired and it hurt you. You know, it could be a sister who, you know, feels like that, you know, the mother of the church or the first lady of the church don't like her, and she's always talking about her to the rest of the congregation. I mean, it can happen in so many ways, shapes, and forms. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about church hurt and how real is it to not just to the people that it happens to, but to the people who maybe witness it and don't say anything about it, maybe slip under the rug, you know, who knows. I want to give you an opening comment, Rev, about the topic and what you think.
So I think it's important for us to first separate the issues. I mean, what I mean by separating them is there's a level of church hurt that obviously does exist within the church, and then there's abuses that take the place within the church. And church hurt can be something that is developed through, you know, these preconceived notions that people have that everybody in church, number one, is saved. Everybody in church is delivered from whatever issues they may have. And that's just not going to be the case. To me, you're going to always find three types of people in any church. You're going to find people who are saved and delivered from the struggles that they've had when they were sinners, and even some of the struggles they may have as they're saved. And you're going to find people who are not saved whatsoever, but they're at church. And I think a lot of times we deem anybody at church or in church to be automatically saved. And so that's the second type. But then you gotta have people who are saved but not yet fully delivered for some of the issues that they are dealing with. And so when we first come into church and we have a preconceived notion that every person that is in the church is this perfect human being, and they're free from saying and doing things that may be offensive, then you're going to set yourself up for definite disappointment. So that's just going to happen. Now, that's not excusing any negative behavior that is displayed by any church individual, in particular leaders including the pastor. And that's why we all must govern ourselves according to the word of God, to make sure that we are measuring up to God's standard and not the standard of individuals. So many people have left church because things have happened, and they have not even addressed the fact of what happened and why it happened. So that's kind of the church hurt piece as far as the opening statement. Secondly, these abuses that take place in church, because what I want to say is church hurt can happen accidentally, and sometimes the person that even did it didn't even know because it was never addressed properly. But when there are abuses taking place in church, that's why it's different. An abuse that's taking place in church is deliberate, and it needs to be addressed in a much different way than let's say, for lack of a better term, just a generic church hurt. And so when abuses are taking place, we must take them much more seriously and deal with them on that level. And so, in way of opening statement, that's pretty much, where I'm, going to leave it. But I have some other stuff that I definitely want to say. So.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and bring on our brother, Brother Keevan. God bless you, Brother Keevan. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
Bless, Brother Keevan. God bless you.
Man, we're doing pretty good, Brother Keevan. And just thought that bringing us on tonight to talk about a very, it's a sensitive topic, but it's a topic that's been going around in the social circles of many of the body of believers. They've been talking about church hurt and how it is affecting their desire to attend church or to be a part of an organization. I was I recently downloaded an app that was recommended to me. It's called Clubhouse. My friends, they downloaded it to me, and they had me join a few groups. I normally kind of, am not, that, present on the other social media platforms other than maybe, Facebook and Instagram. But I downloaded this app called Clubhouse, and I started following a couple of chats that were going on, live chats. One was being headed by a few of the church leaders in the community, Chicago community, and one of them was Apostle John Eckhart. They were talking about church hurt, and there were hundreds of people chiming in about their different experiences and what led to them really leaving the church. And I wanted to talk about that today. So do you have an opening comment? I want to give you that about church hurt and how it has affected the body of Christ.
Absolutely. It's very real. And I think when you talk about gifting, calling, pastors, prophets, and, teachers and, just congregants, all together. It's just that. They're there for that. And, what happens is you're bringing everyone together with all of their experiences that they have had. You have different personalities. You have different backgrounds. The way that, people and things that people have experienced in their life. And, some people are there for, to be healed. Some people are there for skepticism, to see what it is. So, you have all different kind of, people with all different types of backgrounds that are there. And not necessarily knowing, how to conduct themselves in that setting, or even how to get over some of the issues in their own personal private life. So, but the bottom line is you know, that I feel is this. We're supposed to all bear the fruit of God's Spirit. And, of course, you know, through that, there's going to be some things that are misunderstood. There's going to be, you know, some things that people, you know, take personal when, you know, someone says it. Sometimes some things need to be said. And you taking it personal is just, you know, is just that. So I think it's important to determine what type of hurt it is, but in, you know, but on the same scale, not to be insensitive to someone who says, "Hey, I was, you know, offended, or I felt some kind of way about something you may have said or done." So, yeah, this topic is very, you know, is a very touchy topic, you know, and it's affecting a lot of people, particularly in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. You know, you're right about that, brother. And I didn't know how widespread the problem was. And you know, I'm kind of interested, you know, because both of you are, you know, ordained elders. And Rev, you pastor a church. You're the senior pastor over at the Caring Church of Memphis. I'm kind of curious as to how aware pastors are, you know, just in the space, how aware that this is happening and how they feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, what's the overarching, you know, concern, if there is one?
So I think, and I was actually having a conversation just a little while ago with some of my friends, and we were discussing the necessity for the pastor to be full aware, as he can be, of everything that's going on within the ministry. And even though he cannot necessarily be maybe directly aware, he should have systems and individuals in place where there's a level of accountability for what's going on throughout the church. And so whether he's using various leaders to kind of follow up with people, and I think it's advantageous for every pastor to have someone who can always take the pulse of people. And let me suggest, like, one way that this can happen, where you have these small groups and you have leaders over the small groups, and you can assign each small group by age appropriation, and then have a leader over that. And within those groups, you inform them that these small groups are not just for spiritual nourishment, but they are for whatever needs that may come about. And so now there's an avenue, at least, for an opportunity for a conversation to be had about whatever's transpiring within the ministry, whether a leader said something to an individual that the individual didn't find appropriate, or if it wasn't appropriate, now there's an open door for the accountability of such. And so, yeah, I think it's very important, because just from a pastoral point of view, I wouldn't want somebody leaving the ministry and I didn't know why they left. You know, it's not my job to stop somebody from leaving if they really want to leave, but it is part of my responsibility to be accountable for that which God places up under me, and make sure that no one's being, number one, abused, or number two, hurt, especially purposely. And I don't know anything about it. And so I think that is an avenue. Some churches call it pastoral care, where they assign people, even as they join the church or the ministry, they are assigned to certain individuals, and those leaders or those individuals are responsible for tracking those people and making sure those people feel like, hey, listen, you can come to me with anything, and then I'll make sure that the pastor's informed if it comes to the level of the pastor needing to be informed. But the bottom line is, you know it's going to be resolved. And so, yeah, I think it's extremely important that the pastor knows what's going on to the extent he can know, and not let it be a place by which people are just leaving the church and there's no rhyme or reason why it's happening.
Amen. Yeah. You know, just to the both of you, one of the things that I feel is an opportunity that is lacking in the today's modern day church. I don't know how how popular it is or how common it is, but to have, or even for the church or the church boards or whoever's in charge of a lot of these organizations, to recruit professionals that are born again, but that also have specific training to deal with psychological and mental illness. I think that a lot of that plays a big part, not just in the younger people who join the church, but also in the adults who have long-rooted issues from childhood, from 20, 30 years ago, that they've never dealt with. Because as you say all the time, you eloquently put, Rev, hurt people hurt people. And I know that's cliche, but that is definitely apropos to this issue, this challenge that is within the church organization called church hurt. Secondly, we have to understand that things that are not reinforced, you know, in certain settings tend to cross in a very negative way. And what I mean by that, and I'm trying to articulate as best I can. If you have, like, okay, church organization, you have a lot of business professionals, you have, a lot of a female congregation, a lot of children in the church, older guys in the church, but a lot of times these families are broken families, you know, no father in the home. You know, the mother, you know, has been in a lot of broken relationships, and, you know, she's done the very best she can with her children, but the children aren't, you know, they don't have certain tools and skills they need to navigate life, and so they act out in some of the most perverse ways. You're dealing with an astronomical number of LGBTQ challenges in within the church that a lot of pastors just will not touch. They will not face. And so that's perversion, is a whole different, it offers a whole different set of challenges. You know, when you're talking about molestation or sexual abuse or sexual trauma and abuse, you know, with children or young adults who went through some things growing up, part of this church, and they do love God, and they want to come to church, and they want to, you know, praise the Lord, and they want to do very positive things, but they're kind of frowned upon because of their sexuality or their lifestyle choice or whatever they believe to be who they are, you know, that is looked down upon, and then that creates an opportunity for a disconnect, you know. So there's so much going on here in this dynamic across the board, right? And the church is becoming so diverse. What, and Brother Key, I'm posing to you, and then Rev, you can go ahead and comment on it. What do you agree that there should be other leadership other than what's in the church, maybe a third party coming from the outside that's born-again believer or what have you, people who deal with the LGBTQ community that are born-again believers that maybe have something to add in that regard? Do you guys think that that's something that should be implemented? First you, Brother Keevan.
Well, I think anything that, you know, is of a help, you know, to create a loving time environment. You know, one of the things that I heard you say was, you know, out of the various issues, you know, people are dealing with trauma. People are dealing with, and a lot of people, even people in the church now, you know, talk about, you know, counseling, you know, going to counseling and not necessarily spiritual counseling, but, you know, getting counseling. You know, you have a lot of families that are getting counseling, and it's really dealing with, you know, some of those issues. You know, in the church, you know, I think a lot of it is overlooked because we focus on the particular thing, that particular thing being strongholds. These strongholds, and they come out of a deficit. They come out of trauma that many people have faced. And so now these types of issues carry over not only in the church. They're on the job. They're in the supermarket. They're in the family. So I think, you know, like I said earlier, I think a lot of people come to the church, you know, to see if they could find help, you know, for those particular issues that they're facing. But, you know, a lot of times the pastors and the leaders simply don't have time for everybody. So I think it's important, you know, just like, Rev said, to, you know, appoint leaders over certain groups, because you can't get, being a pastor, you can't get to everybody. You can't. You know, you can't address everybody, you know, everybody's needs. And a lot of times people forget that people in leadership, they have issues that they're dealing with too. We are dealing with the same devil. So it's important, you know, I think it's very important to, you know, get people who are of a like mind that is willing to help and willing to heal God's people.
Yeah, I don't think I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with having Christian clinical assistants. And if you have within your congregation individuals who have clinical backgrounds, and of course they're Christians, I think, yes, I think God gave the clinical community their wisdom and knowledge. And so I see absolutely, you know, no reason for people dealing with whatever mental illness they're dealing with to have a partnership with their pastor and a clinical psychologist or whatever area they need assistance in. I think that where we have gotten in trouble in the past is where we have made, and pastors also have made, because it's not just the pastors. A lot of it has to do with the pastors. But a lot of members have made their pastor the end-all, be-all. And a lot of pastors have taught, hey, listen, you don't go outside of this ministry for any help. In fact, you've had pastors say, listen, this is the only place you need to be fed spiritually. And we've been taught that, hey, listen, this is the only place you're going to get the true word from. And just so many missteps within ministry, but it goes again, it cuts both ways, because we need people to understand, just as my brother Kevin so eloquently put it, pastors are supposed to be better. Don't get me wrong, and I'm pretty sure that's what Brother Kevin was saying as well, but they're not perfect individuals. And so all of us need to find ourselves making sure that we're staying before God, yes, but for those of us who need some other helps because we have experienced some things within or without the church, within our homes or in our communities, such as what you suggested, Brother Manny, molestations of all sorts or abuses of all sorts. those things need to be dealt with because, yes, hurting people do one thing very well. They hurt other people. And so, again, as the pastor, I want to make sure that I have a pulse on my membership. And no matter how large your membership gets, the pastor, whether through delegation or whatever means, needs to make sure he knows what's going on in the ministry because we are held accountable not just for – first of all, let me make this clear. We're not held accountable for numbers. What we are going to be held accountable for is the quality of individuals that passed our way. And did we help change somebody? Did we help transform somebody? And so we need to spend less time on pointing out one particular sin or the other and make sure that we're addressing all sin and that we're addressing all issues in a very healthy, helpful, and scriptural way. It's just a truth of how we have to handle it, and we need to get away from the setup of the devil that has used prosperity and other things as a deception or means to get the church off a task of what we're supposed to be doing, and that's helping transform the lives of individuals.
Amen, Pastor. I do agree with you, Rev, and we're going to go to the phone lines here and welcome our caller. God bless you, caller. You're on God's Word to Man. Max, who's speaking?
Yeah, my name is Nathan in Orlando. I just tuned into you about 5 minutes ago, so I don't know what all your whole show has been about. So, but whenever I heard the brother that was just speaking before you brought me on the phone, he touched a subject that's dear to me. I'm going to be real slow in explaining this, but don't get offended in any way. But if I'm wrong, you can correct me. I think there's some repentance that needs to happen in the church, and I'm talking at the top. And let me go back in the 70s when men, when it was promoted in psychology and media and education that if you're not happy with your spouse, it's best for the children to separate. And a lot of men left their families, and back then, the families were bigger. They had 4 or 5 kids, and there was women's. Their whole life was their home, their husband, their children, and their home. And then whenever the men left, there was a lot of women that went into depression. Now, you know, the pastors back then were not really equipped to – they knew the Word of God, but they weren't equipped to counsel, and a mother could try to come back to church. And she wasn't welcome. She had kids that had emotional needs. And so the church dropped the ball on the counseling and sitting down and listening to people. And then later on, this accounts for much of the mental illness we see across the country. It was a great depression that hit, a spirit of depression that hit America back then, and I don't think we've ever recovered. In psychology, you know, we're taught that if you have a tragedy, you've got to divorce a loved one, your cat runs away, you got to go through 4 cycles, shock, denial, anger, and acceptance. You get stuck in shock, in the emotional state of shock, denial, and anger. You can see that right now today in a political conversation. If something happens in some of these inner cities, and it doesn't turn out the way people want, the city burns. This is what happens when you got a couple of generations of nurturing your children, your friendships, going to work, and you're stuck in these emotional states. I'm saying that the pastors need to look at this because back then they knew the Word of God, and they could tell you that the Bible says God hates divorce. But these people, some of these people were victims of it. They weren't the ones that needed to hear that. And what I'm saying is when it came to counseling, the church was much too late getting in it. And I'm going to share with you a verse. I want to slow down and say this whenever I say it. But John 10:10, we all know that. I read out of the New American Standard, and it says, the thief comes, listen to this, only to steal, kill, and destroy. King James says the same thing in another language. It says the king, the thief cometh not but for to kill. In other words, there's no other reason. He doesn't want to compromise. He doesn't want to do the job halfway. He comes only to completely, he's committed to completely destroying. And so while we can hear people say we need to repent and the church needs to, people need to come back to church and stuff, I think, and please don't hear me as a critic. I've seen this stuff for many, many years. I think that the pastors need to repent, and I think if they could listen to the people at the bottom and listen to their experience more, they could see. I think they're blind to seeing how they are a part of the problem. Now, I'll point out one thing on this. We have the religious right, leadership, pastors and Christian leaders. We hear them, they'll say, and I'm not either party, but they'll say, you know, I endorse this Republican because he's pro-life. And if you go through their records, you find out the pastors aren't looking at their vote record. But they can endorse that, and the people will follow the pastor. They trust the pastor. They'll follow him and then later find out, or some of them never find out, that these politicians are just using the pastors to get to the sheep, because that's numbers and that's getting reelected. And I think the pastors on that point, before they criticize me, go look at the record. You know, go look at their vote record and see how they've managed this thing. And I think there's a lot of people, a lot of pastors not knowing it has let people down. And I'm just saying, and I don't want to sound like a critic, I wish pastors would slow down and look at what they've done. Because, and I'll hang up on this, if what I said right now is wrong, okay, there's a chance I might reach one or two minds in my lifetime. But if that pastor is wrong, he's got a lot bigger audience than I do, and he has more people that trust him than I do. And I think that there is a big one little point that basically says where we're at in America in so many different ways today.
No, you're absolutely correct in a lot of what you're saying, Nathan. I just want to thank you for chiming in, and obviously you're more than welcome to call in on any Monday night at 7 p.m. for the topics that we have. I mean, I like to cover things that the church and the people of God aren't really talking about, and they tend to sweep things under the rug. Just to your point, one of the things that I'm going to talk about next Monday is the enormous rate of suicide among children today because of the pandemic, and they're not able to go to school and to do their normal things that they normally would do, you know, with the sports and the activities and their friends. There's a large number. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, and that's why I really didn't bring it up this week, because I like to have my facts and my ducks in a row. But I just read that there's so many children, one in one county on the West Coast, I believe it was somewhere near in the Washington area, Seattle or something. They said they had one in one county, 19 suicides, children committing suicide. If that doesn't alarm us as a body of Christ and in the church, that something is definitely wrong. We're dropping the ball somewhere. I don't know what is. But listen, thank you so much for tuning in and for calling in. I really appreciate it. May God bless you and keep you and your family safe, okay?
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you.
No problem.
I just want to say, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Rev. No. I was going to come to you guys anyway. Go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, I hope Nathan is still listening. I think he's right on. And of course, I've been saying this for I don't know how long. He is right for those pastors, because it's not every pastor, but for those pastors it applies. Nathan is right. We have to repent. If we have been wrong, we have to repent, because God is watching. and the blood of innocent people are going to be held to our accountability. So we got to make sure that we're not following a Republican or a Democrat or Independent or Tea Party or whoever it is, if what they're espousing, not just espousing, but what they're living by, as Brother Nathan so eloquently put it, if their record does not reflect their rhetoric, then we must make sure that we hold them accountable, just like we hold the church accountable, just like we hold the pastors accountable. Pastors should not be allowing themselves to be fooled by rhetoric when the record does not reflect the rhetoric. And so at the end of the day, Nathan was spot on. I hope he's still listening. He was spot on. There needs to be repentance that goes forth, and we need to fall into alignment with the Word of God and seek out counseling where it is needed. And it's obviously needed in a very vast way, especially during COVID. And again, pride has to be removed off the table. If a pastor does not possess the ability to counsel at that level, then we must find a Christian counselor who has the ability, or even if they're a secular counselor, as long as what they are practicing doesn't go contrary to Scripture, then we must be able to, pull those people into our network so that the members are getting fed and transformed in a very holistic way. We cannot be prideful. We cannot be selfish. What we don't know, hey, it's okay to say you don't know it, but bring somebody in, because the people are what matter to God, not accolades, not a mega church numbers, but have you helped transform someone's life? Because guess what? As you said, Brother Manny, there are people out here who are turning to alternative lifestyles because why? They don't receive the kind of help they need to receive from the church. Families don't receive the kind of help they receive from the church. Why are people committing suicides? Because some families are not receiving the kind of help that's necessary from the church. And so we got to get away from these ineffective methods of trusting politicians or trusting even pastors who are not following the will of God. We got to keep in mind, it's the last thing I'm going to say, we got to keep in mind, every pastor, just because they say they are a pastor or a preacher or a minister or evangelist, pope, whatever your title is, listen, if they're not following the Word of God, then we owe it, those of us who know, owe it to those who don't know to help bring them along according to God's Word.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right. Absolutely 100. But as they say out there in the world, big facts, big facts. Listen, there's a young lady who we all grew up with in the church. Of course, I've been in the church my entire life. I'll be 41 this year, and I was born into the holiness church, as they call it. There was a young lady who went to our church, and she also was, sort of born and raised in a church, and her family and her mom and her grandparents and stuff like that, and talented, super talented, could sing, and she can sing, and very charismatic, and everybody loved her, and beautiful person, and she experienced some tragedies in her life, and some that was so tragic that, one would even imagine how she could have recovered mentally and emotionally, spiritually from it. I can't necessarily say what happened to her, because then that would give her identity away. But she, born and raised in the church, and always singing for the Lord, going traveling, singing for the Lord. And then I don't know what happened over the last few years. I think she was married once, but I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, she's just turned to a lesbian lifestyle. And you just, the way she looks and the way she used to act and how talented she was in the church and how serious she was, you know, going around speaking and preaching for the Lord. You just wouldn't imagine that she just would turn her life around and, you know, and as of late on social media has been, you know, disseminating some pretty blasphemous, you know, language and content. At some point, there was a breakdown in her life. I don't know if her pastor or if she had a pastor or if anybody from the church that we grew up in kind of noticed it and reached out to her, or if nobody ever contacted her. I don't know, but you can see the change. It's dramatic. It's like night and day, the type of change that she's, you know, sort of experienced. And I just wonder if someone would have reached out to her, if, you know, if that type of counseling and care was at her disposal, you know, would this have been the outcome? And so I pray for her, and of course I continue to pray for her family. But, you know, as I said, there's so many instances of these, of this stuff going on. It's like, you know, what's the solution? And so that's what I want to talk about in the last few minutes. What do you do with church hurt? I mean, how do you overcome it? Is there a process? What do you do first? You know, can you point out a few of the things, Brother Keevan, of what you do first when you have experienced church hurt or a level of abuse at the hands of people in the church?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing to do is, you know, don't suppress it. I think a lot of people go on for years not addressing certain issues, not addressing certain things because of their level of respect for, you know, church leaders and pastors in particular. And so they allow it to sort of build up in their lives and say, oh, and they start making excuses for that type of behavior. And it easily turns into a root of bitterness, or could easily turn into a root of bitterness if not addressed, you know, in you know, in a timely manner and dealt with. So I think, so number one, you know, you have to acknowledge and, you know, not be afraid, you know, and as we talked about in this, you know, on this broadcast, that pastors and leaders are human too. They're subject to make errors. They're subject to say the wrong things at times, and, you know, and even members of the congregation, you know, that interact one with another. You know, I think, you know, dealing with hurt and trauma in their own personal lives, like, you know, like we've been saying, hurt people. So I think it's important to not suppress certain issues, but, you know, to bring it out and to bring it to the forefront, you know, and do it.
Rev?
Hey, man, I certainly concur with Brother Keevan in that we got to make sure one of the first things we do is acknowledge it and say, hey, listen, we understand this has transpired. Where we often get in trouble is we make some of the leaders so iconic till we act as if this they couldn't have done this. And so we begin to make people feel as if either they're lying or something's wrong with them. And so we can't afford to villainize the victim, because when you do that, then you're going to almost every single time lose an opportunity to bring about reconciliation. And whether we know it or not, God called us to be reconcilers. Mm-hmm. He didn't just call us to be saved and wait until we go to glory. No, no. He wants us to not only be reconciled to him, he wants us to be reconciled one to another. How do I know this? Because it is one of the two greatest commandments. It is the commandment where God says we must love one another. And so when you look at the Ten Commandments, commandments 6 through, if I'm not mistaken, commandments 6 through 10 or 5 through 10 deal with us loving one another. And so we got to make sure that we love through accountability, that we love through a form of being empathetic, and that we are a listening ear for individuals who are crying out and asking for help. I tell you this, it is a much easier road to investigate allegations than it is to try and bring somebody back in. You made them feel like you didn't believe them, they were lying. It is a much easier task just to follow the story, follow what they're saying, and make them feel like you truly care. Because when you do that, even if you were to come to a conclusion, well, maybe this was not church hurt, or maybe it was this, that, or the other, the person still walks away believing that you thought that they were important enough for you to find out what's going on. So we must, it's imperative that we get involved, that we make people feel loved, and that we seek out a route, no matter what the situation is going on in church, that at the end of it all, there's reconciliation.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, before we leave this broadcast, I did jot down or come across a few steps that can be taken. And Brother Kevin and Rev have already talked about some of them. But one of the things that was mentioned, and I know they, if they had to continue, they would have mentioned this, is first pray. You know, whenever you experience hurt or trauma
Absolutely.
In this way, remember that,
Absolutely.
Listen, the church is not comprised of all perfect people. It's comprised of flawed people who are trying to live up to perfection. So when you understand that and understand that we're all trying to imitate Christ and we get it wrong, you know, then you can come to the realization, you know what, I know one that is perfect. And so the first thing you need to do is to pray. You know, you need to ask God to heal your hurt, to help you to understand how to deal with these types of things, and give you the strength that you need to walk through the necessary steps so that you can receive your healing. Like, you know, Brother Kevin said, confronting the person who did this to you. You know what I'm saying? And then one of the other things, which is the hard thing to do, especially when you're living in the pain, is to forgive that person. Because as long as that person, you harbor bitterness and unforgiveness and the pain that you carry around, that pain that they caused you, you'll never be free. You'll always be in bondage. You'll always be in bondage to it. It'll always have a hold over you. So those are the three things, you know, in addition to finding someone, you know, like we said, the counseling. Specifically, if you can find someone who's a born-again believer that deals with, you know, different psychology or have that sort of training, you know, to help you work through that, that's a good step to take also. But the first thing, pray. Second thing, confront the person, bring it out in the forefront. Don't hold it in. You know, surround yourself with people who love you, who respect you, who have your best interest in mind, and confront the person, and then work toward forgiving the person. And so I'd like to thank everybody that tuned in today and that listened. Remember, as I said, you can follow us on Facebook at God's Word to Man. You can even subscribe to Blog Talk Radio and follow us here and subscribe here with your email and receive notifications when we go live.
I want to give our two panelists, our two brothers who always tune in for us, an opportunity to give you a last word, and then we're going to go ahead and close out the broadcast. Rev?
I just want to say, number one, just because you get hurt in church, don't take it out on God, because God didn't do it. Don't leave God. And I love that Manny said we got to make sure we're praying. So don't leave God. Number two, let's make sure, amen, that we understand that not only are we dealing with flawed individuals, but they may be even hurt themselves. And that's not making an excuse for them. But most of all, listen, we need each other. So if there's anybody out here listening, I am so grateful that Nathan called in, and I thank God for Nathan and his comments. They were wonderful, and he's right. We got to make sure if we've been in error that we repent and that we seek God and that we can all be in a place of reconciliation one to another. And that's all I got to say. I thank God for you, Brother Manny. Thanks for having us on.
No problem, brother. Love you, man. Brother Keith.
Love you too, sir.
Yes, I just want to piggyback off of what Reverend Murphy was saying, that, you know, many people that I encounter, they say, well, I tried the church thing, and the people in the church are so judgmental and so hypocritical. I said, well, that's, you know, I said, well, I'm sorry that's been, you know, your experience. I said, but there's one who doesn't judge you that way. I said, that's the one who we should be looking to. That's where we're going to receive our healing from. That's where we're going to receive our deliverance from.
Hallelujah.
And he with an unfailing and undying love. I said, give him the opportunity. I said, and you'll never be disappointed. And I think that any pastor and any Christian should all be looking upward. And any pastor, anyone in leadership should be pointing people to him. That's our goal, is to point people, he said, to make disciples, followers.
Yes, sir.
Of him.
Sir.
How do we do
yes,
that?
Sir.
We tell them about his reform. We tell them about his deliverance. We're witnesses of Christ. That means we live this thing. I walk in forgiveness. I walk in love. I walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not uptight. No, I'm not saying this personally, but I'm saying that this is how we are supposed to be, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, because we have to realize that he said that if I be lifted up, that means us bearing his Spirit on the inside of us. He said, I will draw men unto me. Draw all men unto me. So it's him that's doing the work in us. And the Bible, you know, there's scripture that you know, that speak about according to his, you know, the power that worketh in us, the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside to bear the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, that in this presence, you know, there is love. There's the love of God. I feel the love of God to draw. And that's enough that even if people wanted to make an accusation, they couldn't do it. So, you know, I just want to encourage people to look to the Lord. Look to Jesus. He's never going to fail you. Man may make missteps, and we have to fall back in line, and we have to forgive them for those missteps and offenses that they've committed against us. But as we look to the Lord, he'll be our stay. He'll be our rock.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, there you have it. Listen, I love you. I love you with the love of Christ. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, we have an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2MAN at gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page. Thank God, called God's Word to Man. Please go over and like and follow that page. I'd like to thank Reverend Murphy for joining us at the Caring Church of Memphis. I'd like to thank Brother Keevan for joining us. We look forward to him coming back
and bringing forth God's word. Don't forget tomorrow, we have Brother Ronnie and Brother Nate. They come back with their series at 7 p.m. Listen, we are in a day and a time now where we need God's word more than ever. You know, people are in fear for their lives. You have a pandemic out here. People are out of work, and they're turning to Christ. They're turning to the church for help, and we need to be in a position to help them and not hurt them. So for our Brother Manny and for everyone here at God's Word to Man, may God bless you, may God keep you, may God go with you, and may he protect you and your family, keep you safe.
Man, God bless.
Amen. Thank you, brothers.
Amen.
Love you.
God bless you. Love you too. God bless.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives and into our hearts. We need you. Almighty.